What's up? Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Good. I want to share a couple things with you that are going on. This is really cool. We are probably about to launch more home teams than we ever have at one single time. And you need to get involved with this because this doesn't happen in most churches anytime. But tonight, there's going to be a little gathering of folks, and you can talk to Ben about this after the service. But tonight, if you are interested in facilitating a home team, that's the home teams, by the way, are our small group Bible studies where you get community with other people and pray together, and usually in homes, different nights of the week, depending on when is, you know, available to people and that kind of thing. But anyway, tonight, if you're interested in facilitating one of those, that's going down tonight. And it's not, if you come, it's not you're signing up, you're definitely doing it. It's a, you know, I'm interested in doing it type of thing. And so that's going on tonight, informational kind of thing and a little bit of training. Then the next Sunday night will be what's called Group Link, and that's kind of our everybody come and have a party to find their home team. And so next Sunday night, there'll be people gathering here, and you'll come and you'll hear different leaders talk about what their home team is going to be like and what night it's going to meet on and, you know, that type of thing. And you'll be able to join a home team that night. And so, you know, pretty cool stuff is happening with all that. And I can't encourage you enough how much we need that. We think we don't need other people. We think we don't need other community with other Christians, and we do. If you are a couple, you need it. If you are a single person, you need it even more. But I'm just telling you, you need it. You need that. And so we see it in Scripture all over the place. Just read the book of Acts. And that's what we're trying to do, is live out what we're seeing in Scripture. And so, you know, get involved with one of those and check that out. That's happening over the next couple weeks. I can't push that enough to you. In your seats are these little info cards. If you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to fill that out. And offering's already been through, so just give that to somebody out in the foyer, and we'll get that. And we'd love just to check on you and your family and see how you're doing and see if there's anything that we can do for you. So make sure that you get us that info at some point if you haven't done that before now. I've got a little video that we're going to watch, and it'll kind of show Ministry Spotlight of the Month, and let's check that out together.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello! 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 Hello!
This month's spotlight is obviously on Tony Crick and his ministry, which is the greeting team and other guest services stuff. Tony's just an awesome guy. If you haven't ever gotten to meet Tony, I'm sure you've seen him. But if you've ever haven't gotten to meet him, say hello to him, talk to him, find out about him. In fact, if you go on the YouTube site, the church YouTube site, you can find an old testimony video when he was baptized and whatnot. And just a great guy. He was in the first service. I had him stand up, tried to get him to come up and like talk, and he didn't want to do that, so we had a little fun with him on that. But just an awesome guy. In fact, I was saying this first service, one of the things about that ministry, I've always said this, if I wasn't doing this, if I wasn't standing on stage and supposed to share God's word and speak and do what I'm called to do, I would go do that, because that's my heart. My heart, and many of you that have been with us from the beginning have always known that my heart has always been that people that come to our church, that I want them to feel welcome. I want them to feel at home so that they will receive God's word, and it won't be some hindrance like it is at so many places that we may go, whether it's a church or another place where we don't know people, or we feel uncomfortable, where we're just kind of like, yeah, I don't think I want to go back there. because that happens, and Satan uses that in a lot of people. And so I praise God and thank God for all the folks that help and work in that ministry, and many of them have been helping since the very beginning. We have some of the shadiest greeters of any church on the planet. I am convinced of that. Just hold on to your wallet as you walk by. You know, shake one hand, hold wallet with the other, however you got to do it. You never know. So we're not held responsible for lost items, okay? Today we're talking about the book of James. We're back in the book of James in the Engage series. We took a couple weeks off to talk about baptism and communion. If you haven't seen that, or if you weren't here for that last couple of weeks, go check that out on podcast. Good stuff. Really seeing God really work in some people's lives. We've had people come into Jesus. We had people get baptized. I've had just an onslaught of people just talk about just how much those weeks have meant to them. And I'm so glad that God's spoken to your heart. He's speaking to my heart. And he's been speaking to my heart through the book of James as well, as we've been going through that. And so today we're picking up the last part of chapter 4. So we're starting to wind this down. We got one more chapter left after this. So there's a few more weeks to go after this. But it's been really good. And I hope that it's been good for you. And this week is the subject of arrogance. And you're like, woohoo! I love talking about arrogance. That's so awesome. I wanted to wake up today and talk about that. And so today that's what we're hitting. And I want to just pray and ask God to open our hearts that we could be just open to whatever it is that he wants to speak to us and how he wants to change us. So let's just pray together and ask God to speak to us. God, we thank you so much for your word. And God, I pray, Lord, this morning that what we do here would be glorifying to you. God, I pray, Lord, that your word would just speak to us in ways, God, that would change our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just pray this right now, but God, that it would be real in our hearts, that we're really open to whatever it is that you want to say to us. God, and that we would be cool with it. And that, God, that we would be willing to seek you and a willingness to change. If we need to change things that are in our heart or in our life, God, that we would just want to follow you with everything we've got. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, we love you. In your name I pray, amen. So, this morning, in talking about arrogance, this passage of scripture that we're studying this morning obviously talks about arrogance. I went every once in a while to do kind of like little word studies, and I do a lot of word study stuff like with messages anyway. But sometimes I'll hone in on certain words, and I'll go to like dictionary.com and things like that, and I've got some good stuff here for us just to kind of help kind of bring home the subject of what it means to be arrogant. Because I think a lot of us probably go, well, I'm not arrogant. Chris, I'm not arrogant. Well, let's read some of this, and then we're going to look what Scripture says and kind of go with all of it together. Arrogant, again, this is like me taking the definition, and I chop it up and just kind of take bits and pieces that make sense. But anyway, having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. Having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. Right now, you're thinking of people. Stop thinking of people, okay? All right? Here's a word for you. I'm going to give you a few words here just, you know, to kind of help drive this home. Egotistical. You don't know anybody like that. Egotistical. Conceited. This is, I'm just pulling this stuff straight from the dictionary.com deal. Full of it. That's one of them. You know what it is. And you see, I said that in the first service, and they did not laugh. They were just like, I was like, and I just like stopped. I was like, man, y'all are tired. Pompous, proud, big-headed. I promise you, you go look it up for yourself. It's in there. Too big for your britches. Dictionary.com has gone southern on us, for sure. Too big for your britches. Because I thought, oh my goodness, that is not really there. And it was, and I started to take it out, and I didn't. That's the word arrogant. Then you got the word boast, and we're seeing this word as well in this passage. And so again, just wanted to kind of give us. I know we kind of know what this is, but again, I think it's good for us because sometimes we think, oh, don't do that. You know, just you may see yourself in something here. Talk with excessive pride or self-satisfaction about one's achievements, that you might boast in yourself. Okay. That you might boast in possessions, that you might feel that you have bragging rights to something, I don't think anybody's sports teams around here had bragging rights this week. Didn't seem like bragging rights. That you would be prideful. And then just to kind of go along with that and just kind of thinking about, you know, Paul, we see the Apostle Paul use the word boast, and he gives us the ability, he gives us good reason to boast, and he says that we can boast in the work of the cross, that we can boast in what Christ does. We can boast in kingdom stuff. You know, and from time to time, we do that here, and I hope that it's always in that heart. I hope that it's never like, hey, look at what we have done, but I hope that it is always, look at what God is doing. And that we can boast in that, and that we can rejoice in that. We can praise God for what He's doing. And I think that's important to understand the difference in that. And then, you know, with the whole, like, you know, boasting in, like, what we own, our possessions, just a quick reminder, we don't, it's not ours. You know, we're managers of this stuff. This is God's stuff. We're managers of it. We're either being good managers or bad managers. We're either using it for His kingdom or not. You know, and so just, you know, to kind of go with all that, you know, and you know, and which is very fitting because, you know, this is the beginning of James, and we'll see some more this next weekend and maybe the week after that. But with James here, he's kind of beginning this little segment where he's speaking to everybody, but he's also speaking specifically to merchants at that time, to businessmen, to people that are money makers, entrepreneurs, and you know, all of that sort. And again, you may go, oh, that's not me. No, no, no. He's speaking to all of us. He's honing in on some things, and we'll see that because of what he's talking about and his wording, and he uses some very specific examples of things for us to not fall into. And so, you know, we all have money. You know, we may not have much of it, or we may have a lot of it, whatever it may be, but whichever it is for you, this stuff applies. And so this morning, we're gonna look at that. In fact, I want to just go ahead and kind of jump into verse 13. Of chapter 4. If you've got your Bible with you, check that out. We're going to get the lights up just a little bit more so that you can kind of check that out if you've got a Bible with you. But James 4, verse 13 says this. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Okay, well, you know, no biggie there. You know, right off the bat, we have in James right here, he's saying, come now. And in fact, you know, other translations, we see him say, now listen. He's calling our attention. And almost kind of, and I really feel this, I really feel that he's doing this because some of us are going to check out and go, oh, well, that's not me. That doesn't apply to me. I'm not a businessman. I'm not some Christian merchant from the first century. But the truth is James is calling our attention to this. God is calling our attention to this and saying, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And so then comes the plans. We got the plans, and the plan starts to roll out here. We got the business plan. Anybody ever do a business plan? Had to do something similar to a business plan. We started the church. You know, I had some other church planners pour into me and some people that said, you know, these are things that you really need to kind of answer for yourself and, you know, things that you need to kind of have down on paper to see, you know, where's the vision for this thing and what's it going to look like and how's it going to work and what are tangible things that you can pray for and have faith in God that, you know, He would provide and do these things. And so, you know, I've started answering these questions. Thank God I had this mentor at the time that, you know, I would go spend, you know, dinner or whatever with him and would sit down with him. And I took him those questions. So this is a year before we ever met as a church. And it was just this, you know, pea brain idea. And I thought everybody thought I was an idiot. And, you know, we sat down with him and I showed him these questions. He said, Chris, that's a business plan. And this guy had been a CEO of a big company and stuff. And you know, I was like, what? This is church. He's like, no. He's like, it is. He said, this is a plan, though. This is a business plan for trying to fulfill and seek out what God is calling you to do in planting a church. And so, you know, I got to go through that process, and it was really cool. I enjoyed it. I'm kind of entrepreneurial. But, you know, this whole thing, we're seeing this business plan roll out here that, you know, that today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town. You know, he's figuring out where they're going to go, and then what are they going to do there and spend a year there. You're gonna, you know, create some foundation there and rapport with people probably, and then trade and make a profit. And they're gonna make money. Sounds great. It's, you know, it's good business. Good business. You're like, well, so far I don't see anything such a big deal. Verse 14 says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? I'm just going to stop right there. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? And here we have James, and James is trying to help us to see the beginning of something that we all struggle with on a daily basis. You know, one of the things that we all struggle with on a daily basis is including God in the plan. You know what we're real good at doing? We're real good at like making the plan. Like, oh, here's the plan. You know, I got the plan all together. And then we got the plan together, and then we go, whew, I hope this works. Boy, I ought to ask God to bless it. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, well, God, I got this plan, and will you bless it? Will you just have your hand on it? That'd be really good. You know, that'd be awesome if you'd do that, God. Would you join me in my plan? That sound familiar? Man, we just do that sometimes without realizing it. I've done it in ministry without realizing it until I get to that moment, and it's like, oh, I'm going to have to start all over again. We're not supposed to ask God and expect God to join us in our plan. We are supposed to join Him in His. This whole idea of, you know, going to such and such a city and, you know, doing all these things and making a profit. You know, James is just trying to hone in on something that we all struggle with when it comes to our plans. You get upset when your plans don't go just the way you thought they were going to. You know what I'm talking about? Just didn't work out like you thought. Well, James understands that. And James is trying to help us to see that we can't be in control. Control is an illusion, my friends. It is an illusion. I've got a couple of assistants that are going to assist me this morning. We're going to crank the lights up a little more, and we're going to have them bring out the box of illusion. I hope that we are, anyway. We might have them bring out the box of illusion. And I need one volunteer, actually. Oh, this is much better than the first service. This, my friends, is the box of illusion. Do I have a volunteer, by the way? Come on.
Right there, she's just walking out.
Oh.
What are you doing?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Tell everybody your name in the mic here.
Kayla Kerrigan.
There you go, Kayla. Kayla, you got any problem with being in tight spaces?
No.
Good, good. Are you a pretty good breather?
Yeah.
Can you hold your breath?
Yeah.
Good. We have the box of illusion. Now, you might mistake the box of illusion for being one of making Mallory's road cases that they take on the road. It's not. Now, it doubles for that sometimes, but they quit using it a while back because they kept losing cables. And so, the box of illusion that I have here today, what we're going to do is we're going to make Kayla disappear. Kayla is going to disappear for us today. Are you okay with that, Kayla?
Sure.
All right, good deal. In the box. Now, we haven't like worked this out beforehand or anything, right? It's got wheels. It's okay. We didn't work this out before or anything, right?
No.
Okay. All right. I put those towels in there, by the way, because it was kind of dirty, because magic gets dirty sometimes, okay?
Thank you.
I'm just letting you know. I did that for you because it's kind of nasty underneath those towels. So, there's nothing under them. It's just wood. And if anybody wants to inspect it and don't believe me, want to call me a liar, then that's fine too. But anyway, you're good with us closing the box and making you disappear? All right, good. Music, please. Spin the box. Very nice, very nice. All right. Kayla, if you can hear us, knock on the box. Awesome. Oh, yeah, you're down there now. Okay, now Kayla, the part that I didn't tell you about is that I have this sword. And we're gonna stick a sword through the box. And it's okay because it's one of these swords. It's a samurai sword that we bought in Gatlinburg. So it's cool because it came from China Bazaar, and they're not real swords. They're illusion swords. So Kayla, if you're okay with us sticking a sword through the box, just knock on the box for us. All right. Well, here we go. See, she didn't knock on the box because she's gone. She disappeared, okay? So now I'm going to reveal that Kayla is gone. And she's gone. Awesome. There we go. And maybe we'll come back to the hotel. By the way, Mom, if we can't make her come back, we'll get you another one or something, okay? So... I thought you might. I think it is good for us to be reminded that we can't be in control. Control is an illusion. It's not real. You know, I got on the internet last night and I was looking at these, you know, how to perform an illusion videos. You know, like Chris Angel was teaching me how to like tear a dollar bill and stuff. I'm serious. You can get on there and check for yourself. Some of you be out performing illusions next week in the hallway or something. But, you know, I was on there looking at stuff, and I was thinking, you know, I could do this. And I had this one with the dollar bill thing. And I was like, man, I can do that. I got that down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And, you know, I just got to thinking, you know, I was like, number one, I'm not that good. And number two, I just thought, you know, it is what it is. It's an illusion. You watch those videos, and it's not real. It's not real. And for us to think that we have control is an illusion. It's Satan selling us on a lie that makes us think that we've got it figured out. We don't have it figured out. We don't have control over life, but here's what we do. We make plans to go to such and such a city. We make plans to go make this money and go make this profit and make this investment. You're saying, Chris, is it wrong to make investments and to plan ahead? No, it's not. It's not wrong. It is not wrong. That's not what I'm saying. James is trying to help us understand something in this passage of Scripture. If you read verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? What is your life? And he's asking the question, what is your life? What does it matter? What is it for? We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And he goes on, he says, for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You are a mist. Some translations say a vapor. Got this show I've been watching on and off, kind of oddly enough, while I study sometimes for messages on Saturdays. Seems to be on then. History Channel playing the show, not really a kid's show, not kid friendly. It's documentary stuff on gangs. It's called Gangland. And I was watching, yeah, you're a big fan. There's something about Nashville gangs while you're at it. Don't go join, though. Just enjoy the TV. And so anyway, you know, the whole thing with this deal is that, you know, in this one show that I saw, as I was studying, I noticed that this guy was talking. And he was talking about life. And he was talking about when you join the gang that you've just got to know that you never know when your time's going to come. And you know what he said? He said, you know, life is just like a vapor. And I was like, whoa! This guy out in like Compton or where he was at, wherever he was at, this guy had it figured out, and a bunch of Christians don't, and they're reading it out of Scripture. He's teaching it, doesn't even realize it. We don't wake up with that mentality every day. That today may be it. Tomorrow may be it. You say, Chris, that's morbid. It's life. It's life. It's a vapor. It's a mist. It's the same mist scripturally that we see on a countryside, on the dew, on a grass that is left in the morning that is gone by noon. You know, and we just go, oh, well, that's, you know, Chris, that's crazy. That's the dew on the grass, and that's gone in like 4 or 5 hours. We get that, you know. You know what? What is your life? What is our life that we think that we've just, you know, we think years, or, you know, we got years ahead of us. We got all the time in the world to get this stuff done. And we keep, you know, we'll say, oh, yeah, well, I procrastinate a lot of stuff. You know, the thing that really stinks is that we end up procrastinating the things that God has called us to do. Why do we do that? If life is a mist, if it's a vapor, if it can be gone like that, why would we procrastinate knowing that God might call us to do something? I almost fell into that before starting the church. I had, you know, some people going, oh, well, you should wait a while and, you know, kind of, you know, whatever. And then I had, you know, I had some godly people in my life that looked at me and just said, Chris, you need to go ahead and do this. And in my heart, I knew I needed to go ahead and do it. I knew that there were people that needed to be reached. The truth is, it wasn't just me. It was a bunch of other people involved and a bunch of other people stepping in to play this as well, this role of God calling us to do what is this church now. There's so many people involved with that. But I look back on that and I go, you know, what if just like even one of those people had said no? How would that have changed the whole thing? What if there had been more people that said yes? How would that have changed it? Of course, I can't speculate those things. It's God's plan. He's sovereign. It's happened. He's in control. We're not. The thought that we might be is an illusion. And that's what James is teaching to him in this passage of Scripture. And he's just bringing home, you know, there's an urgency with this. There ought to be an urgency with this. This ought to be the same urgency that we started a church for. And that urgency should be that life is a vapor, life is a mist. And what is our life that we're going to do whatever we're going to do with it with the X amount of days that we think is such a long period of time, but honestly is really not. And we blink and turn around and all of a sudden kids are growing up and everything else is going on and our neighbor's still unreached. And I got to praise some of the families in our church. I've seen some families in our church over the last few months reaching neighbors like crazy. I mean, just unbelievable amounts of people. You know, I'm meeting people going, hey, how did you end up coming to our church? Like, well, you know, this family, they invited me. I'm hearing some of the same names of some of these same families over and over and over again. You know, I finally was like, what are you doing? Like, well, we had the nightlight, you know. I was like, yeah. Like, well, you know, even before that, we were trying to get to know neighbors. But, you know, even after that, we've tried to stay connected. We've been sending emails from where we got their emails. We've been taking them cookies. We're like, here, you know, borrow the lawnmower, whatever. It's loving people. You know, because so many of us just go, well, Chris, I don't know enough about the Bible to talk to anybody about God. That's just a bunch of junk. Jesus didn't say the greatest commandment was for us to start holding Bible studies at our house and start teaching theological doctrine. He said, go love people. If we'll go love people, he's going to make up a difference where we may be uncomfortable. He's going to put us in situations where we will be uncomfortable and we're going to have to rely on him. You know why? Because we can't be in control. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. It's not real. But the power of God working through us is. Life is a mist. It's a vapor. It's not wrong for us to plan. It's not wrong for us to invest. But if you go on in this verse, keeps going here, it says, after it says, what is your life, which ought to be the question of the day every day, what is my life today? Because, by the way, we only have today and we don't have tomorrow and we don't have yesterday. It's gone. And so many of us are going, well, I can't do anything today for God because of what I did yesterday against him. Satan, hello, thanks for controlling my life and letting me just hand over the keys to you. and I can't work on tomorrow because I got too much to do today. Today is what we've got. We've got to make the most of today. We see this with every parable that Jesus ever taught, it seems like, where he's constantly just going, hey, wake up. If you're faithful with what I give you right now, I'll take care of you. I'll then bless you. But going on in this verse, after what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And in verse 15, it says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. You see, the issue is not that planning is bad. That's planning. Verse 15 is about planning. You see that? It's about planning. It's about thinking ahead. It's about being wise. But it's at trying to veer us away from worldly wisdom that we see James constantly talking about through this book. He's constantly trying to help us to see past a worldly mindset that ignores God. It's us making plans without God. And he's saying, instead, you ought to say this. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we'll do this or that. In other words, make your plans while seeking God. God, whatever it is that you may lead us to, let that be the thing. And then also, hey, God, by the way, we're going to make these plans, but, you know, I've got the calendar, I've got the planner and the schedule and the iCalendar, and everything's all fixed up here, and it looks all pretty on paper, and we've got it ready to go. But God, by the way, if you want to just throw it all out the window, I'm A-okay with that. How many of you can say that? How many of us can honestly say that if God throws out all the plans, that we'd just be okay? What are you going to do if you go to work tomorrow and you lose your job? What are you going to do if you go home today and your spouse looks at you and says, I'm done? What are you going to do if your child is in a car wreck tonight and is laid up in trauma at Vanderbilt Hospital by midnight tonight? What are you going to do? Are you going to absolutely flip out? Or are you going to have the mindset already that even though you've got these plans and they're all out there and they're well laid out and it's going to such and such a city and it's making this money and this profit over here and it's seeing these people and it's living there for a year and over here for a year and all this, are you going to be willing to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that or whatever? Because that's what he's looking for. You see, it's not making plans that's wrong. It's making plans without God, without consulting his will, without having a heart that if our plans change, even if we sought God, that even then, if our plans happen to change and he has something different going on, that the moment that it happens, we're like, it's what God wants. Can't tell you how many times I get in these crazy conversations. Some of these guys that are around close to me know it. It seems like, you know, one minute I've got the day planned out, and I'm working on this and I'm working on that, But then I run into the most random person in the world. And the next thing I know, it's a ministry opportunity. Say, Chris, that's because you're a pastor. Listen, I spend more time, you know, when I'm out running around, I spend more time in restaurants, pawn shops, hot rod shops. Where are the pastors there? I'm just talking about daily life, just like you. And it's just amazing to me the opportunities that God will throw in front of us. And sometimes I'm so tempted to go, oh, God, I got my plan. And I'll tell you, there's times that I do. I'll admit there have been times in my life when I've said, I've got a plan, I've got to stick to the plan. And sometimes the plan is getting some things done for the kingdom, and I know I need to do that stuff. But sometimes it's like God's just going, here you go. Love on them. You're not even going to like them, but I want you to love on them. That happens. It's about us getting in the frame of mind of being for whatever God wants to do. It's about us not declaring independence from God and saying, I'm in control, which is what we do when we go on making our plans without God. We're declaring an independence from God, and it is an arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency. It's arrogant. The question of the day is, are you arrogant? And you may go at first, well, no, but then when you hear it like that, you know, do you plan life without God? Do you just go on just doing your own thing without God? And see, we don't think about it like that because we're just doing what we need to do and we got things we need to get done. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's no different than just like us just, you know, giving God the finger and saying, I don't care what you think and what you want to do today. I'm going to do what I want to do today. That's the decision that we're making when we don't consult His will for our life. Verse 16, goes on, it says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And the breakdown of this is that these people that James is writing to, they were literally proud of being arrogant. They were proud of thinking that they had it figured out. That they were, you know, practically even, you know, little translation maybe even, that they were practically even proud of possibly like predicting the future. That they had it so figured out, that it was all laid out and it was all ready to go. James is saying it's arrogant and it's evil. Verse 17, it says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Because I think that there's something that's awfully important for us to remember. And that's not that our sin is only made up of the things that we do wrong, these actual acts that we have in our life that we keep combating and coming against and going, gosh, I want to get past this. God, help me get past this. And we just keep, you know, just nailing the wall on these things. It's just this constant fight. And it will be a constant fight till the day that we die against sin. But it's not just those things. It's also the sin of omission. You know what that is? That's when we know what to do, but we just don't do it. Did you know you can sin by doing nothing? That's what James is showing us. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It's sitting back and doing nothing. I see this in a lot of men in this day and age. It's like this world has just beat men down to where men are afraid to be spiritual leaders of their homes. And I'm just here to tell you that if you know Jesus and you're a man, you should be a spiritual leader of your home. It doesn't make you some crazy conqueror or anything else. It's about providing the love that your family deserves. It's about providing wisdom, spiritual wisdom that your family deserves. If you're a young family, you don't have children yet, you need to get this on the road before kids come along in the picture. Some of you say, well, I didn't have that as a dad. So, you're just going to remake everything that you've had made before you? Is that the deal? Stand up. Be a man. That saying means something, right? Truthfully, all of us are in that boat. Men or women, it doesn't matter. There are times in our life when God calls us to do something and we got to quit being wimps. We've got to stand up for what is right and we got to do it. If we don't, we're falling into sin. We don't want to be a bunch of Al Bundys sitting on the couch watching TV that just let the world go by around us and do nothing about it and have nothing to do with it. What is your life? What is your life? Our life should be about God's kingdom. It should be about His glory. You say, Chris, what is that? Our life should be about making God famous. I had something happen this week, and I was really excited about it. It just kind of dawned on me yesterday, and even this morning, even more, I think, that it was great to be excited about it. It wasn't wrong to be excited about it. But I just thought to myself, you know, I pray that I'm that excited about God. I pray that I'm that excited about my relationship with Jesus. That the most exciting thing in my life is not some tangible thing I could have acquired or the win at the end of a game. Our life should be more than that. It's not only what we do sometimes, but it's what we don't. Whoever knows the right thing has no excuse but to follow through. We're obligated to do what God has called us to do. And this morning, you may say, well, Chris, I know I'm not doing what I need to do. I know, you know, heck, I just even come to church and don't, you know, I'm not even serving. I'm not even trying to love on other people. I introduced two people this week that are of the same age, both single, and both have been going to this church for at least 3 years, and neither one of them had ever met each other. I chalk that up to a couple of things, but one of them is the fact that we've got lots of people that just want to come to church and they just want to just come in and get out. God didn't call us for that. He does not just work in our hearts and not use us for His kingdom. Our life is a mist. We will die. And I was ever reminded about it 2 days ago on the anniversary of September 11. Watching that footage and remembering what it was like 8 years ago to that day of experiencing that for me, and I didn't even lose anybody that I knew, but to remember what that was like and what that must have been like for so many others was a reminder that life is a mist. It is a vapor. It is going to end. What are you going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? We've got to live our lives for the kingdom. We've got to quit just going to church and just quit talking. We can't just keep talking about good things. We can't keep putting it off for tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow's coming. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have yesterday, and we can't keep falling back on what happened yesterday is going to keep us from doing anything today. This is God we're talking about here. He's sovereign over all things. He has control. And that's no illusion. But for us to keep convincing ourselves that our plans are going to be what needs to be done, that's an illusion. Because when we make plans, God laughs. Control is a convincing illusion. And the truth is, at the end of the day, is we're nothing but dust in the wind, redeemed by the cross. You may be here today, and you may not even be a Christian. You may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you just came to church today. Maybe you've been trying it out for a few weeks or a few months or whatever. I want to tell you something. The most important thing that I can tell you today. And that's this. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die, to take on all the wrong that we've ever done, because we deserve death for our sin. But He sent His Son to die for our sin, so that we could have a relationship with Him and eternal life with Him. And this morning, if you're in that boat where you don't know Jesus, or maybe you're not sure if you do, or you know, maybe you did some stuff when you were a kid and you can't remember it and you don't know, listen, settle it today. Don't mess around with that. Life is a vapor, and I don't want to try to do any scare tactic type stuff. I'm not into that. But Scripture teaches us and helps us to see that we don't know about tomorrow. So if you want to know Jesus Christ today, I'm just going to let you know that here in a couple minutes while the band's playing, on the other side of that wall right there, myself and a couple guys who just love hanging with people and praying with people will be out there, and we'd love to just get to pray with you and talk to you about what that means. You can just slip out and just come see us. We would love to get to talk to you and pray with you about that. I can't encourage you enough to make a move on it. We have to get over our arrogance. And that means that we are all about God's will for our life. And that means letting go. And it means putting sin to death. But I'm just telling you, it's the greatest thing that we can ever do. If you're not a believer, it's the greatest thing you ever do. If you are a believer, it's the greatest thing that you can ever do. Is to seek God's will. And when you get in the middle of God's will, I'm just going to tell you, there is nothing else in life like it. Let's pray for that. God, I just thank you so much, Lord. Lord, for speaking to our hearts through your word. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to get to come and to worship together, to glorify you. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be arrogant toward you. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just keep planning without you. God, and I pray, Lord, that if you jack up all of our plans tomorrow, that we just say, okay, God, what you got? I'll go with that. God, for anybody that doesn't know you here today, God, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them near to you, and God, that they wouldn't think that it's because some speaker used fancy words or anything else, God. God, I just pray, Lord, that they would know that it is you speaking to their heart right now. God, if they don't know you, draw them near to you. God, may they just be willing to get up, come out, and talk with somebody about what it means to have a relationship with you. God, for the person that's kidding themselves into believing that they know you, but they've never made that step of faith, God, I pray, Lord, that they would do that today. Put their sin to death and follow you for the rest of their lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, we don't deserve it. God, we love you, and I pray that our lives would look like it.